John 7, verses 37 and 38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." What a claim by an individual. Only one that is deity can make a claim as that. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." No one else has made a claim that was able to back it up, anyway, of that magnitude. "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." Christ is saying you must come to him by faith. You must come to him by faith to be saved. You must be willing to come to him and cast all of your cares, cast everything upon him. For the scripture says that apart from Christ, that mankind stands condemned. I mean, what a statement is that? Have you ever thought that before in your life? That apart from Christ, that you stand condemned. John 3, verse 36 tells us, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life." Notice, has it. Not going to hopefully get it. Has everlasting life. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life." So what life are we talking about? Obviously, the people are alive. They're living life as we would know it. He's talking about there is another life. There is a spiritual life. "And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life." What life? Everlasting life. "But the wrath of God abides on him." The wrath of God abides on him. That's the main reason why you must come to Christ. Because all of mankind, each and every individual, stands condemned and doomed before the Lord. Stands condemned. Do you realize the severity of that statement? Stands condemned already. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life." When we come to Christ and believe in him by faith, we are saved from sin, from death, from hell, from delivered from the wrath of God. Romans 5. See, today most people just think that God is love and that's all they understand about God. That's all they want to understand about God. But that is just one of his many attributes. "For man must be saved from his wrath." Romans 5, verse 9 says this, "Much more than having now been justified by his blood." Notice, justified, made right with God. How? By his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. The atonement was made. The blood was shed. "We shall be saved from wrath." The wrath of God, my friend, abides on those who have never come to Christ, the wrath of God. And if you have come to Christ, if you have believed in him, the soul that has placed faith in Christ for salvation need never fear of being lost again if you are truly converted. Now notice I said if you're truly converted. A lot of people say, "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus," but they've never been converted. They've never been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of his dear Son. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:10, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." And Peter's saying that after he first said in verse 4 of that same chapter, this here about, well, let me start at verse 3. This is what takes place to somebody that's born again, somebody that has come to Christ. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. As his divine power has given to us all things, because I want you to see that it's not just simply, oh, I believe, giving mental assent to Christ. Okay? It's a change of heart. You're giving a new heart. You are given a new heart by Almighty God. That is the new covenant. I give them a new heart and write my law on their heart. So those that have been given a new heart have also been given what I'm going to read you right here. Verse 4. As his divine power, verse 3 and 4. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, notice, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You have been given the divine nature, a partaker of the divine nature. As I said, many people say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, but there's no change in their life. They haven't been supernaturally changed. They haven't been raised from the dead. They still are dominated by the sin nature. As opposed to now, those that are truly born again have been given the divine nature. The divine nature. Back to our text. Notice. That is from verse 38, John 7, verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. In the old King James, it says, out of his belly, out of his heart, out of his belly. It's from the belly that these rivers of living waters flow. The belly or the heart. The heart, the belly is that part of man that is never satisfied. We feed it, and soon thereafter, he cries out for more. Yet Jesus says that if we come to him, he will give us satisfaction for our most precious needs. This world, and those in it, seek after many things that can never truly satisfy. X, the drug addict. X, the drunkard. X, the gambler. Ask the person that is addicted to sex in whatever form or shape that would be. What about the person pursuing careers and money and houses and they're bitter and haters and gossipers? The pursuit of all of these things leaves one empty and always looking for more. But Christ, on the other hand, abundantly satisfies the soul of man. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You'll be satisfied. In verse 37, it says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Are you thirsty today? Are you so unsatisfied, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired? There's a reason for that. Because it's only Christ that can satisfy the soul. Only Christ satisfies the soul of man. No more does the Christian try and scratch his religious itch by participating in empty rituals and dead religion. That's what I'm talking about, being born again. There's many people, they might not be drug addicts or drunkards or gamblers or addicted to sex, but they're religionists. They're trying to be satisfied by religion, trying to work their way up to God's favor. They have a religious itch. They're seeking after a God that they made up in their own mind. That will never satisfy you. The Jehovah's Witness can never be satisfied. The Catholic can never be satisfied. The Muslim can never be satisfied. The Buddhist can never be satisfied because they're trying to be satisfied apart from Christ. Only Christ and Christ alone can satisfy he that is thirsty. He who has come to the fountain of living water is never exhausted, but one that has been abundantly satisfied. Come to Christ and see whether or not these things are true, or just maybe I'm a ranting maniac, or maybe these things are true. Maybe these things are being proclaimed by one who was taken from the kingdom of darkness and transferred, translated, conveyed into the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. One that, behold, all things have become new. Psalm 107, verse 9 tells us this. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Would that be said of you today? Longing soul? Hungry soul? Well, it is Christ who satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Does that not sound good to you? As opposed to chasing whatever it is that you're chasing and you're never satisfied. It's been said of a rich person, how much is enough? And that person said, just one more. And that's true with drugs, sex, whatever. You fill in the blank. It's always one more. Always one more. Whereas what I proclaim to you, we read of in Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So what is the opposite of blessed is the man who trusts in him? What's the opposite of blessed? It's cursed. Cursed is the man who does not trust in him. But blessed is the man or the woman or the child that trusts in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Oh, my friend, taste and see that the Lord is good. The commercial says to eat Snickers because it really satisfies. But yet eat one and tomorrow you'll be looking for another one. Yet, come to Christ and he will eternally satisfy those that are truly saved by faith in him. Don't you want to lay your head on your pillow in peace at night? Jesus Christ makes that possible. Don't you want to know for sure where your soul will spend eternity? Jesus makes that possible. Don't you want to know true joy and contentment? Jesus makes that possible. Don't you want to be free from the pull of this world? Christ makes that possible. All of these things and many more are possible to all those who will come to Christ. Because when you come to Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. You receive His Spirit, and it is the Spirit of God in our hearts that give us unending joy and peace. And know this, that the water spoken of in our text never abates. It is always there, and it is constantly refreshing the life of the believer. This living water is that which gives us power, gives us joy, and gives us hope in this world. There are many who say they can never live a Christian life, and that is a true statement. Nobody in their natural state can live the Christian life. However, when the Spirit of God lives in you and lives through you, He makes all things possible. You see, the Spirit knows my needs, and He makes intercession for me before the throne of God. Let us look at Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. We read there of the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helps and our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself, notice Himself, not itself or herself, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints. Everyone who has come to Jesus Christ is a saint. Intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Wow. It is the Spirit of God making intercession for us before the throne of God. It is the Spirit of God that makes Christian living possible. And how does one get the Holy Spirit? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to those that believe in Christ. Romans 8 verse 9 tells us this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Notice that. What a statement. The Spirit of Almighty God dwelling in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Notice the whole Trinity right there. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, I mean, my friend, if this is not true, this is insanity. Who makes a statement like this? If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Watch rules. You can meditate on those three verses the rest of your life. The Bible makes it clear that this water of life that is placed within us forms a mighty river that flows out from us and touches those around us. What the Lord is saying in our text that we will be sufficiently satisfied and He will use us to reach others for His glory. Now, let me ask you a question. Does this sound what you want in your life? Well, it is true. You believe it to be true. If it's true, and it is, there's a way for you to get this. These verses tell us all about coming to Christ. Tell us how to come to Christ. Notice how you receive this life. Go back to John 7. And let's look at verse 37 again. John 7, 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Are you thirsty? Do you have a conscious desire for something that you do not possess at this moment? Have you heard these truths and you are thirsty? Before a person can be saved, they must understand they need salvation. Have you been convicted by the Holy Spirit today? You feel that you're being drawn today, even though that you're dead in your sins and trespasses? The Spirit of God comes. He comes and He grants repentance and faith. And then those that have been elected unto salvation hear the call and they come. For many are called, but few are chosen. You want to know you're chosen? Then simply come. As long as the sinner is satisfied in his sin and content with his life and has no thought for God, they will never be saved. You must see yourself as lost and as Christ as the one that can satisfy your soul. You come to Christ and be saved by the grace of God. Are you hungry today? Do you long for true peace of heart? Have you been searching everywhere for everything, for things that just simply do not satisfy your soul? Are you saying just one more night, one more party, one more act of sex, one more perversion, one more drug, one more drink, one more step up the ladder to glory, one more dollar, one more house or car or boat or plane or submarine or whatever? It's always one more. Because, my friend, nothing in this world will ever satisfy you but Jesus Christ. This world was created by Christ. Everything in it is for Christ. Let me just depart from this for a second and read you something. Now, this is either true or not. Now, if this is not true, I got to say the people in the first century that went into the Colosseum to be eaten alive by lions and tigers, they had to be out of their mind if this is not true. But if it is true, you have to be out of your mind if you don't come to Christ. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth. This is speaking of this Jewish carpenter from 2,000 years ago. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Now that's either true or it's not. And if it's not true, that's a maniac that's speaking and anybody following him is out of their mind. But then again, if you don't come to him and these things are true, then I would say that you're out of your mind. Because all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Now, my friend, we have a dilemma here. I'm either out of my mind for following him that made those claims, or you'd have to be out of your mind to not come to him that made all those claims. I guess, in the end, we shall see. We shall see. But if you have seen today that this is true, then I will remind you what our text says in verse 37. First of all, Christ gives an invitation. Come. Come. If anyone thirsts, let him come. Or if you're chosen, then come. If you come, you're chosen. Come. Anyone. Notice. Anyone. Are you anyone? Anyone. Come. Anyone. Come. Anyone. Anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Notice. To Christ. Christ is inviting you to come. He's inviting any man to come. The way is open to Christ. His well is never dry. But you must come to him. You must come to him. Whosoever will come. Let me close by reading Revelation 22. Verse 17. Let me close on this note. And the Spirit, Revelation 22, verse 17. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses from the end of the Bible. Revelation 22, 17. and the Spirit and the bride. The bride. Christ is the bridegroom. We are the bride. The church of the living Christ. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, let him who hears say, come. Christ says, come. The Spirit says, come. The bride of Jesus Christ has been sent out to tell others to come. And let him who thirsts come. Do you thirst? Then come. Whosoever desires, let him take the water of life, notice, freely. That's what grace is, my friend. Freely. You can't earn your salvation. You can never be good enough that God looks down and says, ah, there's a fine individual. He looks at all of mankind the same, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And Christ says, then come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. My friend, come to Christ today.